Hey, I could use your help today on intentional living. I'm Dr. Randy, and we're picking up from a discussion from a few weeks ago on daughters, moms and daughters, and when you have a daughter that maybe has, I guess the term is caddy, girlfriend. I guess guys can be the same, right? We know that. So this is not exclusive to guys, but we're really talking about daughters today, and when you have those dynamics of a relationship going on with their friends, how do you handle it as a parent? What do you do? What do you say? Love to have you join in on our comment line. It's open to you right now at 888-888-1717. For the show itself, we have so many great calls already recorded from our archives that we'll be using those on today's program. We'll get to those in a moment. But again, we're talking about our daughters, the relationships that they have with their girlfriends, and sometimes how those can be interesting dynamics. And boy, I could use your help on our comment line today. 888-888-1717 is that phone number. All right, let's get started here. It was Carla, if you were listening a couple weeks ago, it was Carla from Michigan who had this concern with her 13-year-old daughter and caddy girlfriends that really set off this whole discussion, part one, and again here in part two today. So I thought for those of you who've just joining us for the first time today, well, I'll play that for you again to get us started. Take a listen.
My 13-year-old, they go to a small school, and there's four girls that would be friends, and what's happening is, and I know this isn't common among girls, but I don't know how to coach her on this. I was not this kind of kid at all, and my husband and I don't know what to do. There's four girls, and it seems like between my daughter and one other girl, every once in a while, they're deciding that you're not one of us, and then completely exclude her from things, and you know, like they're on the same team, and then it's like, okay, so I'm supposed to just do things by myself. And again, it's a small school, so you know, during recess she'll try to walk over by them because normally they're friends and they just walk away. And what's very hurtful is the fact that for the first 9 years of her life, the one girl who would be the popular one that everyone wants to be friends with, they were best friends. They were, you know, close. And then there's another girl that's come on the scene, and she's more the best friend now, and my daughter's had to work through that. And I've seen her show an ugly side of how, well, if she's going to take her away from me and not share the friend, I'm going to do that. So we've kind of worked through that, and she's accepted the fact that she won't be the best friend anymore, but we don't know what to tell her to do with this.
All right, some of you may have heard that program, and I sort of glibly said, well, that's life, you know, but you can't say that, obviously. You can't tell that to a 13-year-old. What do you say in practical terms? And you all wanted to weigh in and have been busy sharing your thoughts, which you're always welcome to do through our phone line here, 888-888-1717. So let's get at it. Jasmine wanted to join us. She experienced this, apparently. Jasmine, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi, you went through this, huh?
Yeah, I went through this in like 6th and 7th grade with kind of the same group of girls. It was really interesting. About a year ago, the one who was the popular one, the ringleader, the one who everyone wanted to be friends with, I confronted her about how she hurt me, and she apologized. And we actually, you know, came to terms on that. We don't talk now, but it did feel good to, I don't know, clear the air, I guess. But what I really wanted to say to Carla was, I guess the best thing to tell your daughter is to really love herself and know that God loves her, too. I have spent time cultivating my passions and, you know, getting a greater understanding for who I really am. I think that's what has, you know, helped me the most get out of that bullying phase. And you know, then you do forge real friendships through life. It's, yes, it is part of life, but the beauty is that you do get that I guess extra bit of intentional, you know, noticing the underdog, like the other caller said, or you know, noticing the person that's lonely because you were once lonely. So
how did you how'd you cope with it when you were back there in sixth grade? How did it feel?
It was hard. I'm not going to back down from that. It was very hard. I there were times where I didn't want to go to recess because I knew I would be alone, like Carla's daughter, and I would go into the bathroom, the girls' bathroom, and spend the entire recess period in there hiding. And, you know, if I could go back and see my younger self, I'd give her a huge hug and let her know she's not alone, and let her know about the inner beauty that she has and she only has. It doesn't matter about the acceptance of friends or having a lot of friends. If you've got a great family who loves you and a relationship with God, and those friends will come. And I've got a lifelong friend from 8th grade on. We've been close, and we are to this day. We're both 27 years old, so that's 14 years of friendship right there.
That's fantastic. Well, Jasmine, I'm glad you're listening. Wisdom that you've shared, and I hope we got some young girls listening, too, that are hearing from you as their senior today.
Yeah,
thank you for your call.
Absolutely, thank you.
27-year-old looking back and saying, hey, this is what I went through, and it's hurtful, and acknowledging the fact it's hurtful, but God has made you special and unique. And if we can train our kids too, I mean, if you got a child you can train when they go out in the recess or they go in the cafeteria or whatever, there's always going to be that boy or that girl who's alone. Maybe instead of worrying about the ones that are so popular and I got to be in with them, to say, hey, I wonder if I can connect with maybe this one here, maybe this person we could have something in common with. And it, of course, friendships, you want to pick people who are going to build you up. You want to have that kind of positive relationship with each other. Very powerful. Thank you. Let's go. Dale is next in Michigan from a father's perspective. Hi, Dale.
Hello.
Hi there. Go right ahead.
Oh, I already shared a little bit, but I'll recap that if you didn't quite catch it all. 13. My daughter was fighting a weight problem that made her stand out from the crowd, but she had that integrity. And she was placed in a position of authority. She ended up being class president.
Wow.
And then, of course, everybody wants to be the friend of the president, but the integrity was there, and so she wasn't as tight as she thought that she wanted to be, and so then, you know, we weren't exactly able to provide everything that she thought she wanted, and I'm sure everybody else can relate to that, but no, she would tell me, but my friends, and I said, no, honey, no. It's not your friends. These are the people that you go to school with, you share common interests with. You might like this person. You might enjoy their presence for a bit. But these are not your friends. You might have a couple that you really like, that you really enjoy. That's great, and those friendships will come through. They will survive.
Mm.
But overall, their friends were, you know, the party people, this, this, and that. And when she chose to, the class president chose to not go to that party that ended up having the police show up or whatever, she her own reward.
That's true. How old is she now, Dale?
She is 27.
All right.
And she has grown and flourished and has a wonderful husband and is doing
Well, it sounds like, Dale, it sounds to me like as a dad, you gave good counsel, you stood with her, she was going through a tough time, and she set some goals for herself. Talk about intentional living. She set a goal to say, hey, I want to be the class president. And if we can help our kids set goals that are far beyond the proximity of this little group that they're caught up with, if we can help our kids see a bigger perspective, a bigger picture, intentional living is about having a goal in the future, having a destination that we're headed for, having a bigger picture than just the thing in front of us, and then doing the next right one thing that allows us to head in that direction. Now, that moment is real to your 13 or 14-year-old son or daughter. What they're going through can be hurtful to them and so on, but to be able to reach out and not get stuck at that moment is such a powerful thing. All right. Thank you, Dale. We got more calls. If you just joined us, we started with Carla said, basically, my 13-year-old daughter, there's some catty friends in her circle. She's in, she's out. What do I do? And we've been trying to give her some help. A lot of calls, and we'll have more for you in a couple minutes here.
It's the three most important words in the English language.
I love you.
Okay, then maybe these are three among the most important words. Free, free, free. Intentional Living has free resources for you and your family to strengthen your faith, your marriage, your parenting, and more. Check out The Intentionals, our top 10 lists. Read free ebooks, start your own intentional one thing challenge, give and receive prayer, and more.
Cool. And it's all free, free, free.
TheIntentionalLife.com.
Every successful person needs this one thing. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Minute. Every successful person needs a mentor. You know, it says in Proverbs chapter 9 to give instruction to a wise man and he will become even wiser. That's a great verse. You think about it. When you open your life and heart to the right kind of people and you allow them to speak into your life, that mentor that will tell you the truth, that will hold you accountable, that will challenge you when you need to be challenged, can add value to your life. He who speaks into your life and holds you accountable is someone that you should honor and respect and make sure you have in your life, a mentor. Every successful person needs a mentor. So here's one thing challenge for you. Find a wise, godly mentor soon. Invite that person to come into your life and to speak into your life intentionally. When you do, that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
By the way, the Intentional Minute you just heard is also on our Facebook page. If you'd like to hear it again, or if you'd like to share with someone that you know would benefit from hearing daily encouragement in these one-minute formats, just go to facebook.com/intentionalliving. It's there for you. And by the way, you could also subscribe to have it sent to your email automatically every day. Just go to theintentionallife.com.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I was calling about my daddy and what he did. I guess the best thing he did for us was he loved and respected and cherished our mama. And it showed me and my sisters what we should expect out of our marriages. And that was the best thing he could have ever done for us. Loved mama the way that God loves him. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's a great reminder. You know, we're talking about daughters today, and primarily moms and daughters probably, but dads, listen, you imprint your daughters, and it makes a difference in their life. And she was reminding us, can set up an expectation in our own daughters' hearts for the future of how they should be and anticipate being treated in that marriage someday. And so that's a powerful reminder of being very intentional in this area of your life. And as we've been talking about this today, about our kids, in particular about daughters, let me throw out this challenge to you, dads and moms. What one thing could you do in the life of your daughter, starting now for the next 30 days, maybe something different than you're doing now, maybe something you want to add, something you've thought about. Maybe it's spending more time talking, less criticism, more encouragement. Maybe there's words you use that drag them down, you're going to eliminate. But what one thing could you do and will do for the next 30 days that would make a difference in their life? Hey, listen, if you make that commitment for your daughter, for yourself, I'll send you one of my wristbands. Just go to theintentionallife.com/WB for a one thing wristband, and we'll get it to you.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
All right. We're really kind of going through a lot of comments today, people who have been calling in response to a call to a program that we aired back in the middle part of February, right around Valentine's Day. I talked with Carla, who has a 13-year-old daughter and has some issues with, sometimes being catty with the girl. It happens with boys too, by the way, not just girls. But where you're in the popular group and then you're not in the popular group, you're on the inside, then you're on the outside. And as a mom, she wants to know how to counsel her 13-year-old daughter. And so we've been just sharing a lot of help for Carla, and we have some more who want to join in here. Let's go to Tina, who's first up in Arizona. Hi there, Tina. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you for your call. Is this right? You've raised 16 kids?
I am in the process. I have the last three at home right now. Yes.
Well, I'm going to just sit here at a stool and listen to you because you might bring all the wisdom if you've raised 16 kids on what to do with this.
I doubt that I have all of it.
Okay. Well, give us what you got.
But so on the topic of girls, my closest in age on the older side is 20 and on the younger side is 11. And so we're kind of in the middle on the technology. The oldest girl is 30. So we had the no technology, and now we have all the technology. Mm. So what I do right now with my 11-year-old is I let her see my Facebook. Just she can see this happens to grown-ups too. Mom has to deal with the same stuff no matter how positive I am on my Facebook page, no matter how uplifting it is. Somebody has something negative to say. Somebody has something bad to say. It's supposed to hurt. It's okay that it hurts. It's okay that it makes you cry. They mean for it to hurt you, and you can always come to me. That's okay.
Powerful.
And it helps. She's able to come to me. She comes to me all the time.
I want to stop right there for a minute, Tina, and I want to camp there because sometimes in our intentional living, we can be so programmed to say, I'm here to teach, I'm here to instruct, I'm here to tell you how to live this and how to go do this, that we, inadvertently close the door to say, I'm not here to come and ask me any more questions, like I've already told you everything, and you've said something really important with your teenagers. That door should always be left open. You should never have an attitude as a parent of, I know it all, so don't come and ask me anymore, because I've given you everything I know. If we leave that door open for our kids to come to us and question and ask, that is a powerful thing to do. It's got to be done if we want to be intentional.
Absolutely. And all the way up to my 30-year-old, she still calls me from all over the world and asks me questions. Mom, I've got my 10-year-old that's doing this. What is your opinion? What should I do? You know, she has a daughter that's a little bit crazy. She's like, what do I do with this kid?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're a little crazy too. What would you have wanted? She's like, why won't you give me the answers? I'm like, I can't give you all the answers, but I can lead you where you can find them.
That's great. Listen, Tina, you sound like a very wise person, and God bless you on your journey with 16 kids. 11, by the way, it says you're adopted and fostered. What a blessing. Thank you, Tina. Appreciate it. Marjorie wants to talk to Carla as well. Are you there, Marjorie?
Yes, I am.
All right, go right ahead.
Yes, I was just telling your co-worker there that I raised three of my grandchildren. I have five myself, and they're all grown, and these girls are grown. However, when they were in elementary school and then moving up to junior high, they would come home in the afternoon, especially the youngest, and she'd say, oh, she stole my friend from me. And I would tell her, nobody can steal your friend. If she's your friend, she's going to stay your friend. And if she goes off, that means she was never your friend.
That's right.
But they have been going to Sunday school since I've had them. They understood that Jesus loves them, and that's the most important person. So when their friends forsake them, Jesus won't forsake them. And they have grown up. Now they're, you know, one is 25, one is 23, and the other 22. But I made Jesus the center of their lives, and I've always told them, no matter what I do to correct you, it's because I love you and Jesus loves you. So I think that getting this foundation, as a matter of fact, I have a six-year-old grandson, and mom and dad have separated, but we share equal time. Mm-hmm. And this child has learned to say his prayer since he's been 2.5, 3, and he is far above his peers. He talks about volcanoes and stuff like that. He doesn't talk about baby things. And so I told him, I said, ask mommy to let you say your prayer every night. And he told me, he said, Grandma, mommy doesn't have Jesus in her heart. At 6 years, this is what he's told me. So I think it's important for parents to let their kids know how important they are, not to depend on man. Jesus says, you depend on God. That's who you depend on.
Very good. Thank you, Marjorie. Appreciate your call. You're right on. In that process, if we can get our children and our teenagers to start to look beyond themselves and start to see the needs of other people. Let's face it, it's what we view that becomes what we obsess about. If we view things, if we view the expectations that are not being met, if we're viewing relationships that aren't working out or things that we want, that can dominate our lives. When we change our view, when we look in a new direction and see things through a new frame, I guess, in the process, it can change our attitude as well. All right. Thank you all for helping Carla. I know she appreciates it. What is intention? You know, we've been talking about this basic, what I call the Intentional Living 101, and the word intention is a powerful word, and as we've been sharing with you in this lesson, it's an internal thing as opposed to an external thing like a goal. But finding intention really requires us to do some study. What is God's intention for money? What is God's intention for marriage, for sex, for work, for your faith, for your family? It's in God's Word. Do you know where it is? Have you found it? You know, one of the most important things you and I can do is to find God's intention, and the best place to go is into the Bible. Absolutely. That is the place to turn, and that's where we turn this month with the teaching for our membership community. Members are those who pray for and support the ministry on a regular monthly basis, support Intentional Living, we're listener supported. And I decided to go back this month and do a teaching on what I call the basics. What is intentional living? I call it the 101 class. What is procrastination? Why do we procrastinate? Why do we get distracted, maybe? Why is it that we have intentions, but then we don't follow through, or we have goals and we don't follow through? Is there a difference between intention and goals? Yes. What about the power of one thing? Where does that work? Why is it we get discouraged in life and overwhelmed? Intentional Living this month, the class is very practical. Members, you've already received it by now for the month by email, both video and audio, and a few of you on CD still. But this is the very last call because we're at the end of the month here. Last call for new members for this month to get in. We'll send you the teaching this month, 101 Basics. Plus, every month thereafter, you'll start receiving a brand new teaching, fresh encouragement, coaching, mentoring from me to you. So just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com and click on donate. And because of your faithful support, stories like this one from Estefana are possible. Take a listen.
It just felt good and liberating to be able to just say no and not feel obligated spending my time that is really valuable to my kids.
Estefana's intentional one thing helped her find more time for her family. And all she had to do was just say no.
Working full-time and doing school has really forced me to look at the time availability and has forced me to really declutter some of the time that I was spending with social gatherings and with friends and people that were just coworkers. People at work would invite me to something and I would say yes, and I thought about it. No, I really don't want to go. And so I was able to just say, you know what? My time is very limited and I'm going to spend time with my kids on Saturday, so I'm not going to attend your function. It just felt good and liberating to be able to just say no.
One thing you can do to live intentionally is to make family time a priority and to just say no to things that keep you from being together. Take the Intentional One Thing Challenge and discover the one thing you can do to find purpose and peace and start living intentionally. Visit theintentionallife.com/one thing.
She took the challenge, learned the challenge, took it, changed her life. Thank you, members, for making that type of story possible. And God bless you for your support. Hey, listen, we go to our comment line often, and we listen to the calls as they come in, and we like to give you a chance to respond to them. Amy was on the air a little bit ago, and I'll replay just a portion of my call with her, and you wanted to respond to Amy, and so we'll let you do that here. But here's Amy. Take a listen.
So my husband and I have been married for 15 years. We've been together for 20, and my husband and I are really struggling with our marriage. He recently, whenever we get into any kind of fight or argument or there's an altercation and there's any kind of conflict that comes up, the way my husband's been dealing with it is he leaves. At one point in time, he actually left for 2 weeks, and this abandonment is really hard, not only on me as his wife, but on our children.
Wow. Wow. Many of you responded. By the way, we always love your responses because we need each other. Denise from Oregon wanted to respond to Amy. Take a listen.
Hi, my name is Denise, and I'm just listening to this lady talk about how her husband just leaves when he gets upset and there's an altercation. And I used to be very much like him. I would throw tantrums, and I went through a program a couple of times that was Christian-based, kind of, and it really helped me, and I don't do that anymore. In fact, I've learned why I did that, and my husband's still with me, and I'm extremely surprised he's still with me because he had every right to tell me to bugger off and be done with it, but he stuck with me, and I just wanted to share my story.
Well, I'm glad you did, Denise. I wish I'd have heard what you learned, because I think you tapped onto an important point here that all behavior has some purpose behind it. We don't just randomly, when we have a fight with our spouse, leave. I mean, I don't do that. And I'm a different person than other people. And so I do other things, and I have reasons I do things. And understanding why we do what we do can make a difference. So looking into it, I think, is important. All right, we have time for Sherry. Sherry wants to comment to Amy as well. Go ahead.
Hi. I was married almost up to the 7-year itch. And he was one who every few months would pull an isolation thing. I'm going to sleep in the living room, or I'm going to sleep at my brother's, or that same runaway thing. It is a form of manipulation and control. When he didn't do that, it was stonewalling, which he wouldn't talk to me for a while. It is a form of abuse, and it's very difficult to manage. He came from a marriage where he overpowered her. So my opinion is that people either try to get their way through blustering and overpowering or through manipulative means. And I hope that we all can learn better ways to communicate and ask for what we want and not play those games.
That's good. Hey, listen, the clock is struck midnight here for us. We got to wrap it up. Thank you for joining us on, not literally midnight, by the way, but we're wrapping up the program today. Thanking you for being a part of the ministry of Intentional Living. And if you've missed any part of today's program or want to hear it again on demand at our website, it's there for you. Just go to theintentionallife.com to hear today's program or any of our archived programs on demand. There for you at theintentionallife.com. Intentional Living is really made up of declaring what God's intention is for your life, but declaring it. I declare before God that I will work on this marriage. I declare before God to do better with my finances. I declare before God today to be the parent He intends for me to be. And then living it out intentionally every day. See you next time from Intentional Living.